3 weeks ago, last time I spoke, I talked about the practice of teaching in the synagogue, and that in a synagogue, there's benches around the outside, and there's no lectern, pulpit, whatever you want to call it, that a speaker stands behind, that the teacher for that day will get up and read the Torah, and then the Haftorah, and then they sit back down and they study. And I talked about that 3 weeks ago, if you were here or not, I don't know. But after I got done, Ted came up to me and he said, "What I'm hearing is the next time you speak, you want everything set up in the square." I said, no, we'll keep it like it is. I don't want to get too radical. But my point in all of that was that we should, as believers, be as iron sharpening iron. And we should be studying the scriptures and sharing what we learn with each other. It shouldn't just be Val or Dennis or myself up here speaking to you as your only source of learning. We should be in the Word and studying and getting to know God better as we walk in our walk with our Savior. Getting to understand who God is better. And that's where I want to go today. I want to start talking a little bit about some of the Psalms. And I'm going to continue this on, but probably next week. How many of you know what next week is? Next week is a celebration of sorts. Teresa knows because I told her. No, she knew before I told her, actually. I actually asked her when this date was, and she gave me the date. Next week is Pentecost. And it's the basically the birth of the church. But it goes back even further, and so I'll probably be talking about that next week, but then get back into Psalms after that. What I want to start looking at is the lament Psalms. The Psalms are divided up into two kinds of Psalms, praise Psalms and lament Psalms. And we often think of the lament Psalms just in the aspect of lament. And what I want to point out to you, that the lament Psalms are as much a part of worship as the praise Psalms are. And I want to show you how the authors of the Psalms divided each of those Psalms, except for two, with a letter. A single Hebrew letter that changes the whole aspect, changes the whole focus of that psalm. So this morning, we're going to start out, and I'm going to introduce Psalms to you a little bit, because I printed Psalms 1 and Psalms 2. Psalms is basically divided up into five books. And I'm not going to get into what each of the books are or anything like that, but if you'll notice in a lot of your Bibles, you get to Psalm 3 and it will say Book 1. And you go further and you'll see Book 2, Book 3, Book 4, Book 5. Psalm 1 and 2 are generally not included in Book 1, but they're considered a preface of what Psalms is, and it's setting the tone for the Psalms. And so I want to take a look at those two Psalms for the aspect of understanding this letter. And if you have my notes, you'll see that the title I gave this talk today is The Value of the Vav. Vav is the Hebrew letter. It's often pronounced as a V sound, or in biblical Hebrew, a W sound. But it can also be used as a vowel. So that's where Hebrew gets a little complicated, and we won't get into that. But it changes some things when it's used as a prefix. And we're going to look at that a little bit this morning and try to understand how the authors of the Lament Psalms use the vav, the prefix vav, to change the focus of the Lament Psalms. But before we get there, we're going to look at Psalm 1 and 2. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its seasons, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. That's Psalms 1, chapter 1, the very first psalm. And we divide them up, and we call them chapters, but these are separate poems, separate psalms. And so they're divided. And the wonderful thing about the book of Psalms is when they were put together, they were put together by intelligent design. They weren't just a bunch of random poems that were let's put these here and we'll put these there. But if you study the Psalms as a whole, there's a purpose for why things are in the order that they're in. We're not going to get into that today, but I did want to point it out. What we're going to talk about is the use of the letter Vav, and I'm going to start by introducing what it is and what it isn't. Vav is most often used in Scripture as the conjunction and. But in Psalms, when the Vav is used, a lot of times it's used as the conjunction but. And I started thinking about how I was going to introduce it, because in this first one, and I got to be really careful here because it could sound a little sketchy. In this first one, there are three buts. But I'm talking about conjunctions and not... Never mind. We'll move on from there. In chapter one of Psalms, there are three buts. Two of them are not the letter vav as a prefix on a word. And why is that significant? Because if we look at these, the way we translate it, we can get a little bit more of an understanding of who God is if we understand the Greek. The Greek, where did that come from? The Hebrew, if we understand the Hebrew. So let's look at the first one. So it's in verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Now, if you look down in my notes, I have the Greek for that. So, in this case, I said Greek again. I don't know where that's coming from. The Hebrew, in this case, the Hebrew would be translated, would be literally translated, for if. So, another way to read this, and probably a more literal way to read the Hebrew here, would be, for if in the Torah of Yahweh, instead of, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, it starts out, for if in the Torah of Yahweh, and you've heard me talk about the word Torah before, it's often translated as law, but the Hebrew word can just as easily, maybe easier, be translated instruction. So let's read it as instruction. For if in the instruction of the law of Yahweh he delights, would be the literal Hebrew way to read that. So if in this instruction of Yahweh he delights, and if in his instruction he meditates day and night, he will be. So it's a conditional phrase here, for if, not but for if. Then we go down to verse 4, and it's talking about the wicked. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. This word, but, is the same as the one above. It's the Hebrew words, kiem. And it's the same meaning, for if. So the literal way to read it in Hebrew would be, for if, like chaff, they are, which the wind drives away. So it's saying, the wicked, for if they are like chaff, the wind will drive them away. And it's describing what the wicked are. Now we go down to the third one, and all of a sudden, it's not ki-em anymore, but it's the prefix vav, which gives us the word but. And all of a sudden, it's no longer a conditional statement. It's a statement to say, okay, this is the way the righteous are, but the way of the wicked will perish. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So the focus changes. It's no longer on the righteous, but it's now on the wicked. The righteous, the Lord knows their way, but the wicked, they will perish. Now, it's important to note that as this vav is used, as this Hebrew letter is used as a prefix here, it changes the focus. It doesn't mean a lot in this particular psalm, but when we get to the lament psalms, it changes the whole focus of what it is, the whole focus of what that psalm is about. So let's look at Psalm 2, because in Psalm 2 we see the same prefix vav being used. And I want to show how it kind of changes the way things are. Why are the nations in an uproar, and the people devising a vain plan? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying. Okay, now I'm going to stop there, because I want to point out, when it says against his anointed, in Hebrew, that word anointed would be Messiah, Mashiach. So against the Lord and against his Messiah, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laugh, and the Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury, saying, but as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decrees of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance. And I'm going to stop right there, because in Jewish culture, in rabbinic Judaism, they look at that and they don't see the Messiah. They don't see God talking about Jesus. However, it's pretty obvious when you look closely at this psalm that it is talking about the Messiah. But that's not just me saying that. If we look at Acts chapter 4, verses 24 through 27, it's quoted. This psalm is quoted in there. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is you who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, Why did these Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Now, if you remember, we've talked about, and you've probably known this aside from me talking about it, the word Christ is the Greek word for Messiah, or which would be translated into English, anointed one. So Luke, when he wrote, and we believe Luke wrote Acts, Luke, when he wrote this, he connected it to Psalms, and it's speaking of the Messiah. So New Testament believers connected this with the Messiah. So it's not just me saying this is about the Messiah. The first century Christians believed that too. Now, I want to point out something very significant when we read this, but if you'll turn to the next page just before we get to chapter 3, you'll see that I wrote out this phrase in Hebrew, and from right to left, you'll see that first letter. You won't see that first letter saying this. I was going to say something different, but I'm looking at a different verse. What you'll see with that first word is a word that has a prefix on it. But the word is, the root word is ani, which means I. So in this verse, it starts out not as but as I. And it says, something very unique here. It doesn't just say I, it has a prefix on it. The prefix is the letter nun, which in Hebrew makes it plural first person. So it's we. We will pour out my King. And it's the unique way that Hebrew on occasion gives us a little insight into God's triune nature. We see this first in Genesis 1:1, where it says, Bereshit bara Elohim. That's the Hebrew for starting Genesis 1:1. We read it as, in the beginning, God. The unique thing is that Elohim is a plural word. In the beginning, gods. But then you get to the next word, which we translate as created, and it's singular. So it's giving us a little glimpse into the triune nature of God, that God in three persons is singular. So the verb would have to match the pronoun, or the noun in this case, Elohim, created, is singular. So it's saying God in his three parts created singularly. Same thing happens here in Psalms 2. It starts out by, we will pour out my King. And where do you get the but from? The letter Vav is used in there. And so it's saying, but we will pour out. So it's a change of focus here. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury. But as for me, I have installed my king. And in that we see God's grace. In spite of the wickedness and the nations raging, and when it says nations, and when we read in Luke or in Acts that it says Gentiles, the word nation is goyim, which is also translated as Gentiles. So it's not Luke got it wrong. It's the same word, but in Greek it translates better as nations, or as Gentiles than as nations. But what we see here is the nations raging against God. But as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain, and I will surely tell the decree of my Lord. He said to me, you are my son, today I have begotten you. And this doesn't mean that he was born that day. It's just saying, I am declaring my son to you this day. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, in the very ends of the earth as your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron, and you shall shatter them like earthenware. Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord in reverence. And here we see God saying, okay, in my anger, I would break them. But take warning. Worship me. Look to me. And rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, that he not become angry and you perish on the way, for his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are they who take refuge in him. And in this he's saying, okay, here we are, we have the nations raging against God. But I'm going to provide my son. Blessed is he who takes refuge in him. And the key here is that but, that vav, that letter vav, that prefix, that it, this is the way it is, but this is what I'm going to do. Now, when we get to the lament psalms, I want to show you the beauty of what this letter vav does. So let's look at Psalm 3, a psalm of David, when he fled from Absalom, his son. Okay, now, in most of your Bibles, this will be written before you see verse 1. However, as we've talked about long ago when I was talking about some of the Psalms of David, when it gives this introduction of who wrote the Psalms, that's not just something that's added later. It is part of the Psalms. It's part of the Scriptures. In the Hebrew Bible, it doesn't start Psalm 1 as, O Lord, how many are my adversaries? It starts out Psalm 1 as a Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom. So this is Scripture. It's not just something that was added. And that doesn't really have much to do with what I'm talking about, but I thought you should know that. A psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God. And then you see this word, Selah. There's not a good translation for that word, and nobody really seems to know exactly what it means, but every time we see it, remember that these were poems often set to music, and it's kind of like if you play an instrument where you get to a rest, that's the rest. So you're reading along, you read Selah, that's a time to pause and reflect on what was just said. So it's like in music, a rest. There is no deliverance for him in God. And what do you see as the next word? But. And this is where the vav is used as a prefix on the next Hebrew word. And all of a sudden it changes the whole focus of this. Because up to this point, David is saying, Lord, look at me. Look how rough I have it. My own son has risen up against me, and I've had to flee from him. And many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God. But, and David changes the focus here. And he says, but you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the one who lifts my head. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain. Now take pause and reflect on that. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For you have smitten all my enemies on the cheek. You have shattered the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be upon your people. Now pause and reflect on that. As we read, okay, there are 65, approximately 60, and nobody really agrees on this, around 65 lament songs. And the reason that nobody agrees, because there are some psalms that they say, is that a lament psalm? Is that a praise psalm? Psalm 23 is one of those. And there's a lot of disagreement on a couple psalms as whether they're lament psalms or praise psalms. Of the 65 lament psalms, all but two have this letter vav that changes the focus of that psalm. And this is why in my title for this message today, it says the value of vav, lament, and worship. Because if you read these lament psalms as only David saying, oh Lord, how rough I have it, or whoever the author is, how rough I have it, look at me, woe is me, then you're missing the important part of the psalm. The important part of the psalm is saying, even though this is happening, I know who you are, my God. I know who you are, Yahweh. And let me tell of your glory. Let me tell of your loving kindness. Let me tell of how good you are to me. We see it in Psalm 3. And he's saying, look how rough I've got it. My son has risen up against me. And they would say, there is no deliverance for him in God. But you, Lord, O Lord, are my shield about me. This is who you are, God. And as we read the Psalms with this in mind, with the lament Psalms with this in mind, we see the heart of the Father and how good he is to us. Because for me, in my personal life, there's so many times I want to say, Lord, do you know how